This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 673 with guest Jay Franzi, recorded on February 26th, 2026. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way in your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here today, 55, almost 60 degrees. They're talking, Jay, they're talking 70 tomorrow. But Sammy, my daughter, reminds me there's false spring. We already had that last week. Then winter was here early in the week. Now, this is the second false spring. Right. And there will be probably one or two more before the summer. You found yourself in Texas. It's always nice in Texas, right?
It was nice. Yeah.
You got snow on the ground in Kentucky?
Well, you know what's funny is I woke up this morning and they said we were supposed to have rain overnight. There was a couple inches of snow on the ground. I mean, covered everywhere, coming down hard, but it was gone by the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just the time of the year, right? February, late February, early March. I know my good friend Ed out in Boston, they got a couple feet of snow. Yeah. They may have snow for a while out there on the East Coast. But it's good to you're doing okay. It hasn't been that cold for you guys, has it been in Kentucky?
We had a couple weeks of cold weather where everybody was afraid the pipes would burst or things like that. But it hasn't been that bad. It's been up in the 70s.
Good. Good. Well, we got to keep making that whiskey out there, so you don't let it slow.
I drove by a few of them during this trip. A few distilleries that were massive in size.
Oh yeah, yeah. Some of them are shuttering at the moment. They're closing down. Like Jim Beam closed down one of their major, manufacturing plants, and they're like, we're going to close it for 6 months, ooh, 8 months. Yeah, there's a little bit of a glut. At the moment, right? I mean, Canada's kind of said, I don't think we're going to drink American whiskey for a while. And
what's Jim Beam's high end?
Knob Creek.
And higher.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Whatever the higher one is, that's around the corner from my office, so I see it every day.
Okay.
I should remember what it is.
You should. Yeah, you drive by it. I don't. You should. I should be quizzing you on that one. Yeah. Yeah, the whiskey industry is suffering a little bit right now. I think they'll be okay. The big ones will be okay. It's the indies. The kids have stopped drinking, and they're like, they all drank during the pandemic, and then they were like, this probably isn't good for us, and they're probably right. And so that's slowing down. Tariffs have slowed down. So hopefully, you're not feeling it, or you're not feeling it in your area very much, are you?
No, okay. I mean there's plenty. Matter of fact, I was at church the other night. We had a bourbon raffle. So
I need to go to a church that has a bourbon raffle.
That's what I'm telling you.
That's awesome. Or maybe I should start doing one at our church.
They're having another one tomorrow night. Oh.
Yeah, you're living. It'd be terrible if I lived out there. I wouldn't have a liver left. Anyways, we'll post the show with some world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. Those of you guys who are doing that every single month, and appreciate you doing that. You can join the team if you want to, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Big thanks to those who click through the affiliate link at theaverageguy.tv for Amazon. If you just go out there, there's upper right-hand corner, there's just a pass-through. Click on that. Benefits the network. And then don't forget, you can use the link, theaverageguy.tv/Coinbase. If you're open a new account at Coinbase and you do a $20 purchase, you get 30 back. So that's an instant win every time. If you haven't, it does require a new account, but if you haven't tried it yet, theaverageguy.tv/Coinbase. Crypto is never been cheaper, because it has been cheaper, but it hasn't been this cheap since maybe last year at this time. We saw a big run up in October. I think Bitcoin hit 125,000 or something like that, which is just ridiculous, by the way. I remember having conversations with Edward Weniger, and it was 264, and it was 125,000 just in October. down, I think we're in the mid-60s at this point. And so if you, now would be a great time to try. If you were, I can't guarantee it's going to even stay at that. You never know. But Jay, you following crypto at all? You doing anything with it?
No, not me. I don't know the first thing about it. I'd like to. I talked to a guy, had a musician on my show that is heavily into it, and he was just going off. I tried to follow along, tried to listen, you know.
Yeah.
Interested, but I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, you know, one of the, like, this crypto deal for you would be perfect because you could create a new account. You would deposit $20 or whatever, you 25, make a trade. You could buy Bitcoin if you wanted to. Or Ethereum. I wouldn't buy anything else, just to be honest. Like, those are the two big ones, right? And then just the app is actually really well done. The Coinbase app I really like. And they do some education stuff for you. There's all kinds of, you know, they'll try to, you know, get you to borrow to trade. Don't do any of that stuff, right? But a good, easy, inexpensive way to maybe get into it, to track it. Because I find if you're not doing it, it's hard to follow it. Like, if you don't care about it, right, hard to follow it. I do think it'll have, I mean, we've been talking about it here on the show for a long time. I do think there's a future for it. In the early days, we kind of thought, you know, you got to be kind of crazy to do, right? I think it's mainstream for the most part at this point, right? I think we've gotten to the point where for Bitcoin and Ethereum, maybe, those are the two big ones. I think they're around to stay for a while. So it might be, you know, an opportunity. You don't have to spend a lot. And then as you get into it, like, I think the best way is just dollar cost average, you know, put $25. Listen, I wish, so when we had Edward on the show years ago now, 2015 maybe, it was $264, right? It's $65,000 now, right? Okay, that's the difference, right? Edward said to me, hey, why don't you just dollar cost average $50 in a month? And I said, I don't know, Edward. Like, I, you know, $50, like, that's $300 a year. And he's like, yeah, but you won't regret it. And I was like, no, I will regret it. So I didn't do it, right? Boy, that, if I'd have just done $50 for a year,
you know. Have you done the math?
I have. It's ridiculous. It's $250,000. No. You know.
So do you regret it?
I do. I regret it a lot. Yeah, that'd be, though, here's the deal, right? On those, some of those kinds of things, you start making, it's easy to say now, like, hey, I was going to make this investment. That would have been 10 years ago, right? Say I'm making an investment 10 years ago. And then you're like, oh, yeah, it'd be worth $250,000 now. Well, that's if I did nothing. But the chances, like, when that thing went from 264 to 500, it doubles.
Would you have stopped?
Yeah, right. Or would you sell it and you buy a whole bunch of pizzas, you know, or whatever, you know, take your wife out for a nice meal with it. You don't, it's, so it's easy to look back and be like, oh man, I could have been. The question of what is really, would I have held it if I would have done it, right? That's the real question.
No, I would have let it go.
Would you?
Well, as soon as you get to a point, I'd be like, oh wow, time to cash out.
Yeah. Like, what's that? What do you think that point is for you? I mean, like, okay, so you're put in, say, you know, you make that $300 investment. At what point do you cash out on $300? $10,000?
$20,000? Probably. I probably would have cashed out earlier, yeah. Like $10,000.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'd be like, wow, that's a great deal.
Heck of a deal. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's,
I don't know, the, maybe I would have taken, could you take it out in pieces, right? Maybe just take half of it out.
You could. Yeah. Yeah, you could have. That would have been smart. And then it would have, that five would have grown to another 10, and then maybe you've siphoned that off or something like that. Yeah, I think most people don't have the, now I've gotten lucky because I've never, I shouldn't say never, but I've almost never sold any of the crypto that I've made from the very beginning. So I've just held it. It's done pretty well. You know, not that well. But close in some manner. The question is just, can you hold it, right? I mean, it's hard. It's hard to hold on to it, especially when you're talking that kind of money. So, you know, it's always kind of tricky to regret those kinds of things because you never know the decisions you would have made, right?
Yeah, no, I'd have a hard time holding on to it past 10 grand. Because I'd be thinking in my head now, if it ever goes in the other direction, I missed out on 10 grand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this is in the situation I'm in now, you know, in October it peaked, and it's backed up 50% since then, right? So when it peaked, you're like, oh, man, this is crazy. Yeah. Well, but you know what? Even though it's backed up halfway, it hasn't gone all the way back to where it was when I first did it. So anyways, listen, this is not just crypto, right? This is always the temptation with any kind of investments gambling that we do. Yeah, I mean, even the stock
market. It's the same conversation I have with myself and my wife at the casino.
Yeah, you might be right. Anyways, check that out, theaverageguy.tv/Coinbase, if you want to jump into that as well. I didn't mean to take that conversation so long, but I think it was
appropriate. Interesting to me.
I think it was appropriate. Yeah, I know, for sure. It certainly isn't, you know, I think 10 years ago we thought it was kind of gimmicky, and it still is a little gimmicky, but there's a lot of money in it. So, you know, who knows? Who knows where that would go? I think it's good to just, you don't have to do it. Just know about it. Right, just know about it. One of those kinds of things. Jay, last time you were on the show, we spent some time, which actually still one of my favorite shows of all time, as we worked through the musical rendition of Home Gadget Geeks. Right, and I ended up playing that for Sarah and for Sammy, and they loved it. And put that out. If you haven't checked it out yet, it's on the website. If you go to my YouTube channel, Jim Collison, you'll see the remastered version for 2025 of Home Gadget Geeks, written by one Jay Franzi and our AI friends that are out there. Jay, thanks for doing that. Like, we got to the end of the show. I had no idea where it was going to go or what we were going to do with it. I've probably listened to it 50 times since we. It's kind of,
that's what happens.
It's kind of cool. Like, you know, I had a buddy listen to it just today, and I'm like, do you think this is real or is this AI? He's like, well, you told me it was AI. So we were talking in pre-show a little bit about this. Your creative process for that, you alluded to it on the show, but how do you go about writing lyrics? Because the lyrics were by you. Were they AI assisted at all?
The lyrics were by me. The music was created through Alex, my AI friend. I call her Alex. Used to be Al, because I thought AI looked like Al. Okay. But then I started using the female voice, so now I change it to Alex. Yeah. But Alex is my friend. And so I mentioned briefly, like, people get free thoughts when they're in the shower. For me, free thoughts come when I'm driving. So I drive to work. I have an hour and a half drive to work, an hour and a half home. So I listen to shows, I listen to music, you know, just different things. And whenever I'm sparked with an idea, I always just ask the lady on my phone to remind me to that so I can keep a list of whatever ideas I come up with. But if I come up with one that makes my mind start thinking right then and there, like if I hear a line, like this week I drove to Texas and my co-host asked me to write a song about this duality I face with myself, where I'm from Boston, which is the world of rock music, and I live, or primarily lived, out of Tennessee, which is where the home of country music. So I was always told I was too rock for Nashville and too country for Boston. And I feel like it's probably the same way in the corporate world. I'm a little too loose for the corporate world and a little too tight for the music world. And it's a battle I face back and forth. So she said, well, why don't you write about that battle? So I didn't know what to write about or how to write about it. But as I was driving, that idea just keeps mulling around in my head. So I started writing about being stuck in between two different rooms, the business room, the boardroom, and the studio, what we call the live room. So I had that idea in my head, and I just kept thinking about it. And as the lyrics start coming to mind, I just open up the notepad on my phone and sit there and dictate some lyrics. You know, I would say I sing them, but I am not a singer. So I dictate them. But I dictate the lyrics until I come up with something good, until I'm happy with it. And then when I'm happy with it, I throw it into Alex and I say, hey, can you put some of this stuff to music for me? And poof, 30 seconds later, there you go. So, and as that happens too, the other thing I do, once I get a base because I'm never happy with it the first time around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So once I get it to a point where I'm like, okay, I've got something I can build on, then I stop and I take it into the studio and I open it up in a multi-track. I start rearranging things, start changing some lyrics. The more I listen to it, I'm saying, okay, if we're going to go with this melody, I probably want to change the lyrics to be like this. And then I start becoming more musically creative on my operating system, my DAW. And then once I get it to a point I like it, then I just put it back into Alex and say, okay, go ahead. Here's the final version. Yeah. And she does it for me. And sometimes, you know, it's just a set of lyrics I throw into AI and it's done in 30 seconds. And I'm like, yeah, that's good enough. Sometimes I'm like, okay, no, this is more personal to me or something I want to spend a little bit more time on. And that's when I'll take it into the DAW, which is Digital Audio Workstation, and I'll take it into there and I'll craft it a lot more and put a lot more time into it. So it just really depends on what the song is about, how much it means to me.
How much time do you think you put into, you know, a song, you think?
Some of them, lyrically, it's hard. For me, I was telling my wife, I have to be inspired by something. I don't just write something. So when Tiffany, my co-host, mentions that duality battle I had,
yeah,
I said, okay, because we talk about it a lot on the show. She tells me all the time, your Boston is showing, you know, that type of comment to me. And I, you know, it comes up quite a bit, that battle I have between corporate and entertainment worlds. And so it made sense to me. I knew what to write about. So all I felt like I'm doing there is color by numbers. I just say, okay, I can think about this piece of that puzzle, that battle between the studio and the boardroom, and I can write a paragraph about that. And then I can say, okay, and write a paragraph about a different piece of it. So to me, that's easy. But when it's something that I know less about, like, for example, the song for your show, yeah, I know your show well. I know what goes on in your show, but there's a lot of topics you talk about that I don't know about that make it harder for me. So when I wrote the song, and then when I brought it to your show the last time, we were able to tweak some of the lyrics there on the fly because they would make more sense from somebody who knows what it's about. So that's the type of thing I do when I take it back home and I start working on it. But in the car, I can at least get a working, you know, a working tape. I can come up with some lyrics, put it in there. And it's a lot easier to change the lyrics when you're singing along to a melody and you get the music playing. And, you know, it's a lot harder to do when you're just singing it in your head by itself and trying to put it onto a notepad. So for nothing else, the AI allows me to have a melody to work with, some music. It's like coloring with full color.
It's something to start with, right?
Yeah.
Something to get the creative juices flowing. You, when after the, you know, I posted the video to YouTube and it immediately got flagged, as I thought it would. Yeah, it did. Immediately it was flagged.
Now, what did they flag it for? That's interesting to me.
It was Spotify music that you had posted. It was some of the stuff. Remember early in the show, we had played some of the stuff you'd created, I think, for your daughter. And okay. I think you said you had posted that to Spotify. And
my daughter's song is on Spotify.
Yeah, your daughter's. Yeah, none of the stuff we created was flagged. And I haven't moved the, you know, I made a video. It's just the logo, but it's got the music, and I put it on YouTube so it would get, if somebody else used it from here on out, I'm the source on that. But and it's in a couple shows, right? It's in that show for sure. And now there's parts of it in each one of the shows. You know, I took chunks of it and replaced it for the opening and the closing song. I got flagged, and then I said no. I, you know, it's like, hey, he gave me permission. You know, you can dispute it, right? So Jay gave me permission. Blah blah blah. Then at some point, a week or two later, you must have gotten a, did you get a notification through YouTube? Mm-hmm. So maybe just because you didn't, they were like, okay, you can use it. It went into like escrow on YouTube. So I'm assuming I don't get very, you know, I don't get that much in advertising. So it's not like you're going to make any money off of me, right? Or what have you. But that was really, really interesting. So then it, like I said, a couple weeks later, it auto, you know, unlocked for me, and I thought either you had granted me permission or not.
If I did, I didn't know I was doing it.
Okay, well, that's okay. Thank you, anyways, for letting me do that. It got me thinking though, and I heard a news article the other day. There's some 3,000 or 30,000 songs now being loaded to Spotify every day that are AI driven. Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah. The question is, at what point does all AI start to sound the same? And have you noticed in your AI creation stuff that they all start, not all, but is there a little bit of a similarity to some of these?
100%, yes. I can tell, I've got a couple examples for you. I saw one of those videos on TikTok or Reels or something where it shows a clip from America's Got Talent, and it shows the person standing on stage singing the song, and then it cuts to the judges, and you know they're in tears because it's so moving, and the crowd is just all into it, and everybody's commenting on how great of a song it was and everything. But it was 100% AI. I recognized the voice immediately. I'm like, oh, that's the same voice that sings, you know, my song or one of mine. Mm-hmm. And I'm recognizing, and it was a great example. I mean, it showed this guy that looked like that voice was from. So, I mean, it looked like it could be real, but something about the video felt off when you start to look into the crowd and it doesn't quite sync up. You know, something was just off. So you start going through the comments and, you know, people are going, well, I don't care. Even if it is AI, it's a great song. It's moving me to tears and all this stuff. So I could hear from that. But the other day, I was talking to a producer, one of the biggest producers in the world of country music. So we're talking somebody who's got 9 Grammys and, you know, just amazing records and thousands of plaques on his walls. And I said to him, you know, have you been experimenting with AI music at all? And he said, well, yeah, I have to in order to stay relevant. I have to at least experiment and know what's going on. And then, so I was saying, well, to what extent are people in Nashville starting to use this now? And he says, well, we used to get songwriters, and songwriters would work in publishing companies, and they'd go and block a 3-hour block where they'd sit down together and write a song. Usually what happens is one of the writers can play guitar, one might play piano, and you just put a recorder in the room, and you press record and play the guitar, sing it, and you've got what they call a work tape. Just a guitar vocal or a piano vocal of somebody singing a song that you came up with that day. Well, now, then you take that song and you take it in the studio and play it, and the lead musician would chart it, and then they give it to the musicians, they go in the studio room and play it. Well, now what's happening is they're coming in with AI versions of those songs. So they're no longer guitar vocaling a song anymore. They're writing a song and they're putting it into AI, and they fully produce it in AI, and then they take that to the studio and give that to the musicians to play over. You know, we're going to play, you know, they're not keeping those parts, but they use that as their work tape to go ahead and then play it. They'll chart it, and then they'll have a full blown picture of what to play. There's no more coming up with ideas. Like the drummer will now, you know, now has to just play whatever was on that work tape.
Yeah.
Where in the past there was no drums on it was just a guitar vocal. So the drummer would be creative. Now, instead of being creative, they're copying whatever AI came up with.
Do you think there'll be some pushback at some point, and or maybe original stuff will be more honored, so to speak, than, you know, does it all start sounding, you know, we've used this term, and I hate this term, but we use this term AI slop. Right?
Yeah,
I hate that term because AI does some pretty good stuff, right?
Their slop is better than most of our stuff,
for sure,
right?
For sure. But it does lack a little bit, because it's based on everything that's already been done. It does lack a little creativity, I would think, on things that have never been done before. I don't know. Is that an incorrect thought? Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's correct in general, right? And I go back to the song I was mentioning earlier, that the battle, the duality within myself of rock and country music and corporate and entertainment world. I pushed it to do something that is different. And I think by pushing it to do something that was different, it came up with something that doesn't currently exist. So when I described the music, I was describing country music mixed with metal music. Mm-hmm. And it came up with country music that was mixed with metal music. And it came up, and I pushed it harder, and I told it where I wanted changes to be, and I said, okay, I want you to scream this section, and I want you to do this. You know, all the things we talked about on your show. Yeah. And it did it, and it just kept doing it. And each time I do one of these, let's say the AI version of the song, I'm trying to push it, trying to learn something new each time, trying to make it do something different each time. Like I did a song for my wife where I wanted it to be a duet. So I took the song and I had to force it to be a duet. Now I think you can select duet in the AI. But before you could select it, I forced it. So I would sit there and say, okay, this is John and Sue singing the song, and this is where John sings, and this is where Sue sings. I'm just trying to convince it to do two different parts.
Yeah.
And I was able to do it. I mean, it came out good, but I couldn't get every single line to be exactly the way I wanted it.
Yeah.
So the end of the song, I had them trading off lines, you know, one line male, one line female, and it reversed them. So the male was singing the female part, the female was singing the male part at the end. And I could not for the life of me get it to switch it. Huh. So there was one way I could fix it is by having the male sing the whole song, have the female sing the whole song, take it into the multi-track version and slice it up myself and that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
So I'm forcing it to do it versus allowing it to do it on its own.
Will it make charts for you? Yeah, can you ask it once it's done, write the music for me on this as well?
That's a great question. The software itself does not do that. There is software out there that will chart music for you. Okay. I can't find one that I like that will do like the Nashville number system. You know, being in Nashville, when you go in the studio, everything's based on the Nashville number system. And I don't know if you're familiar with what the Nashville number system is, but if you look at traditional sheet music, it's five lines and spaces, or what's it's. And you got the notes all over the lines and spaces, and it looks like sheet music.
Yeah.
It is sheet music. Well, the Nashville number system is instead of lines and notes, you have numbers. So the reason for this is it makes it easier to read and it makes it easier to transpose. Mm. So if I said I wrote the song in the key of C, the number one in the key of C is the C chord. So, and then if I said, okay, let's do this in G. Now, rather than having to rechart that whole chart, all those notes on the staff, now I can just say, okay, well, if it's in the key of G, the first chord in G is G. So instead of G, C, D, now you got G, D, A, or whatever, G, A, D. Sure. Yeah. And that's how the Nashville number system works. So a lot of the... There's software out there that will do it. I just haven't found one that does it to my standards.
Yeah. It just interesting as we get to that point. As you and I were doing the music together, we're giving it different things to do. I was hearing it was doing different notes in different places on different versions even as we were doing that, right? And so, you know, I think from a, you know, you have a musician who's got a riff that they want to use, right? They're going to want it to be that same riff, you know, every time. As we were making dinner tonight, we were listening to Boston's Long Time.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
That's a great song. And you hear these, you know, the opening part of it, which has no vocals, then works into the Long Time part of the song, and that those musical rhythms, right, that begin to play through that piece, right? And there's genius in the music was done on purpose. I get a feeling, though, with AI, we're getting what sounds good to our ear, but it may not be on purpose from a music standpoint. Like I'm putting these notes in this particular order on purpose, and I need these to be in that order for the rest of the song, so to speak, right? From that perspective. And so as I think about the music writing process, you know, you would oftentimes, you know, a musician would get a lick or a riff that they would it'd be in their head, and then they would begin to work that into songs, right? I even know, you know, some of the 80s stuff we listen to, a chorus might be written, and that chorus may not see the light of day for a couple years until finally somebody gets it and they're like, oh, we can add verses to this kind of thing, right? And it gets added kind of after the date. Sometimes when you hear those songs, you're like, oh, this was a chorus only song. Obviously, they didn't spend much time on the verse, you know, on the verses, right?
Well, it's funny when you mention that. That goes back to when you say, how long does it take to write a song? Some I can do in a day, and some take weeks or months. And the reason why they take weeks or months is because you write a chorus or something, you hear it in your head, and it's great. But you don't really have a story. I need the story, because without the story, I'm like, well, if I don't have a story, I don't know what happened to get me to that point. You know, I can come up with a great line. I can be driving down the road and I can be listening to the news and somebody could say some random line like, oh, that's a backlot summer thing. And I can say, oh, backlot summer. I like the term backlot summer. I start making a chorus that sings backlot summer. Yeah. But then I think to myself, okay, now what do I do with this? Because I got a chorus that I like, but I don't know the story. So I have to come up with the rest of it. So that's the part I was trying to tell my wife is, without that story, I don't know what to write.
Yeah.
So that song that I just did over the past couple of days, I knew the story. I knew it inside and out. It wasn't hard for me to write that. I was done with it within a day.
Yeah.
So because I lived the story.
Yeah, the story. Yeah, you lived the story. You live the story. That Arthur's song, right, from the 80s movie. Oh, Arthur,
great song.
Right?
Christopher Cross.
When you get stuck between the moon and New York City, the person who wrote that had that line in their head for a decade and said, wouldn't it be great if we could write a song someday that had when you get stuck between the moon and New York City?
Yeah.
But they didn't have to your point, they didn't have the rest of the reason behind it. Right, and it was written it was finished much later, became Christopher Cross saying that. I think there was three who got credit for that song, but you have a line, right? Sometimes you just have a line to do. Do you think from an AI perspective, okay, so say I had a cool line, you know, and I'll put the link to the, if you haven't listened to the new Home Gadget Geeks song, I'll put the link in the show notes. You should go listen to it. The lyrics are amazing in that, right? Because you nailed both. It would have been easy to have a chorus for that, you know, welcome to Home Gadget Geeks, and then all the chorus pieces. But the verses, as I listened through those, I remember Sarah just laughing as I was playing it for her. She was like, that's so you, you know, and some of the things that you're talking about. Do you think you could spend time with AI working through, you know, using voice mode, and having kind of working through a lyrical set and have it giving you ideas? I did this for, I was workshopping podcast titles with it. So I gave it some stuff and it started giving me titles, and then I could say, oh, I like that, but I don't like that. Give me more ideas.
Right.
Could that be for you? Would that be helpful from a lyrical standpoint?
Absolutely. I know that's what the songwriters in Nashville are doing now. They just open up ChatGPT and say, all right, I want to write a song about this. Give me some ideas, and some ideas, and then they just pick stuff they like. There's no more, you know, no more brain rot or anything. You come up with, or what do they block?
Yeah.
You have ideas. You don't have the idea, type in, hey, give me the idea, and it'll give it to you. I was telling you, I went to Texas. When I was in Texas, I had the opportunity to see my cousin. And I was talking to her about her kids and how they're growing up. And, you know, she was talking about her daughter, and she was just telling me how amazing her daughter's doing. She's off in college, and she was a professional dancer, and she gave it up to be with her brother and to help her brother. And she was talking about all this stuff about her daughter. And then she says, and she goes, I listened to the song you wrote for your daughter, and it was just amazing. I wish I could do something like that. I said, well, you can. And she says, what do you mean? I said, what do you want to write about? And she's my daughter. I said, well, give me like five or six ideas about, you know, what she do. Well, she's a professional dancer. I said, okay, professional dancer. You know, she's a college student going to med school or law school or whatever she was going for. And I wrote it down, and I wrote down a few other things. And, you know, she she likes drinking wine. She goes to wine tastings and stuff. So I wrote that down, wrote all this stuff down. And then I just took it, put it in ChatGPT. And I said, here, I said, I'm writing a song for my cousin. I want it to be in the point of view of my cousin. So I want it to be a female singing to her daughter. And this is what I want it to be about. Go ahead and write it. And it went, and it spit out some lyrics. Took those lyrics, I put it into Suno, and I said, great. It created a song in 30 seconds. I said, here's your song. And it was spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, spot on. Now, if you really wanted to take it a step further, we could do what we did on the show where we sit down, listen to it, and tweak the lyrics and change it to be even better. Mm-hmm. But for the 30 seconds of somebody who's not going to do anything with the song other than play for their daughter and make them cry, it worked out perfect. Yeah. So...
Well, there's a lot of creativity out there. You know, I tend to think that in some spaces that's too easy, and some of the things are going to all start sounding the same. You know, you kind of wonder. And yet, to your point, we can force the AI into creativity. And I think this is, you know, it allows people, like I don't play an instrument. I don't read music. I used to. I just don't now. But I have some good understandings of it. It'd give me an opportunity. It may not save me any time in writing a song that I really want, that I really like.
Right. If you're going to spend time to do something.
Yeah, personal. It does. If you're going to do it and work it like an artist would work a song. And listen, some artists have written songs. There's plenty of stories, and you live in this space of hit songs that were written in 30 minutes in a trailer after a concert, or, you know, not 30, but that's probably too long, you know, 5 minutes
in quick.
A trailer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like, I got this idea. I need to get, there's probably tons of examples of that. So there's some of that, although even for our human creativity, you wonder, yeah, I won't mention any artists, but there's some that they sound very similar, right? I mean, this kind of been said of country music in a lot of ways.
Right? Oh, yeah. Because what happens is when somebody gets an artist who does well, the other record labels want to find an artist of theirs that could jump on that trend. So if you get a Garth Brooks, they try to find the next Garth Brooks. If you got a Carrie Underwood, they want the next Carrie Underwood. And all of a sudden, now you got the... you know, big three or big five labels that are all releasing an artist that sounds just like Carrie Underwood. And it's like, okay, well, now everything sounds the same again.
Yeah. 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 I guess that does happen to us humans too, right? It's not AI slop. And there might be some human slop too.
The
right?
song I did with my cousin that day we were at a bar. So that day we were sitting at the bar doing that song. It sounds just like any other country song you'd hear on the radio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does it sound good? Sure. Does it, you know, do what it was intended to do, make everybody, you know, nostalgic or happy or sad. But then when you push it and you create a song like the other one I was telling you about, the Duality song, mm-hmm. that song sounds different. So, and it's because it was pushed. It wasn't just given prompts and told it to do something. It was a vision in the head that had to come out, and so you had to, you know, manipulate it to get what you wanted. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want, at the end of the show, I'll play you both of them, and you can tell me what you think of them.
Maybe off a post show.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, your AI music is being subsidized and pretty heavily? You're paying for it, but you may not be paying what you're actually using. You know, I. From a resources standpoint, I mean, we all kind of know at this point AI is heavily subsidized, right? They're doing this. Yeah, some people are paying some stuff. Most people are using it for free. Even the $20 or $50 or whatever isn't necessarily covering, especially for heavy AI users. If the bubble bursts and prices get right-sized and it costs four or 10 times the amount of money for you to do what you did, still worth it, do you think?
It's tough. I mean, yeah. I had no problem at all. And as tight as money is, I had no problem dropping the $10 to use the AI. And then I was like, well, that I got to move up to the mid-level because I need this feature, and I had no problem. Then I'm like, well, if I go to the big, you know, the premium level, I can now use the multi-track, and I can start doing everything I do in the studio. I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem. So I'm paying $35, I think it is now.
Okay. So you're paying a little bit of a premium to get, but that's still, I think, subsidized a little bit for the.
Oh yeah, it has to be
for the power that you're getting, right? If we start paying real prices, I guess what I'm, you know, going back to my original question of, you know, is it sustainable to have this much AI music flooding into the market? No, probably not. It's happening, so. So there's the reality is it's happening. If the bubble bursts and it gets expensive again for it, that could be a natural barrier, right, for folks to say, yeah, no, at $100, this isn't really worth it to me. You know, that barrier to entry of just uploading whatever you can create as fast as you can create it to Spotify, hoping that
something takes off and you make yourself $20.
Well, I mean, are people, listen, when The Voice first came out, right, or whatever the first one was, I don't know if it was The Voice or America's Got Talent or
American Idol.
I mean, didn't Carrie Underwood come from American Idol?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of wonder, like, yeah, I mean, if she hadn't taken that shot, where would she be today? I think there's some artists kind of thinking like, well, it's not costing me that much, you know.
Well, that's
give it a shot.
That's the beauty. If you get the premium version, the premium version is $24 a month. I thought there was one version higher that would allow you to do the multi-track.
The Sora, right, is what you're talking about.
Suno. Yeah, they get a free plan, a pro plan, and a premium plan, and the premium plan is 24 and the pro plan is 8. Okay. Free plan, obviously free.
Yeah.
So some people get the premium plan and they go ahead and, you know, have it create the music for them. And then right within the software, you can go ahead and sing it. So as a independent singer now, yeah, there is no need to go in the studio and spend thousands to have session players record your music.
Yeah.
And for creative people, it's amazing because a creative person will spend hours tweaking one thing that nobody else will ever notice. Yeah. And for that person, you're not wasting thousands of dollars in the studio doing that. So you get it just the way you want it. I mean, you spend hours or days or weeks and you get it just the way you want it. And then when you get it there, then you go ahead and sing it. Then if you ever do decide to take it in the studio, now you have the exact version you want those musicians to play.
Yeah.
Takes all creativity out of it for them.
Sort of. I mean, it can always be expanded upon in the studio, right?
Yeah.
You can always, a musician be like, I know it's written this way, but that doesn't make any sense. Like, let's not do it that way. That's not, I've worked with musicians that way and they'll, you know, they're like, yeah, no, that's not the way you do it. Like, I know this is what's written here, but this is better. Right. You know, so you get some of that as well. Do you think this hyper creativity in the music space, right? Certainly, I mean, there's a bunch of spaces that are being affected by this. The written word, you know, books, right? Everybody's writing a book these days. That's AI, right? Paintings or art, graphic design, like all that stuff is being, you know, preempted or being, it's not the right way, it's being overrun. It's probably a better word. Do you think in the music industry, having all this new creativity that's fast is good for the music industry? You've been doing this a long time, Jay. You've been around this space a long time. What do you think?
It's been 40 years.
Yeah.
I love the ability to use the tools to be more creative. You know, I haven't written songs this much since I was writing for a publishing company years ago. And when I was writing for the publishing company, yes, it was great. I had a purpose for doing it, trying to get songs and TV shows and movies and all that stuff. And it worked out. It was great. I loved doing it. But this, I could write a song today. If I have just a thought in my head and say, okay, I can write that. Or like even your song would have cost thousands. I never would have been able to do that in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. To hire all those musicians to go in the studio to do that and spend thousands to do a theme song for that. But for this, I can. Yeah. You know, I could go ahead and write it. So, yeah, I think that creativity is great. And you mentioned books. I did, my wife says to me, why are we receiving so many books in the mail? Well, I gave all my books a facelift, and I did it using AI. I was trying to look around the room to see if I had one readily handy, but some of them I used AI to do it, and some of them I used AI to spark an idea to just update the book cover to see, make it look like it would sit a little bit better. So,
yeah,
no, I think it's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're being creative with it. What I really begin to wonder now that we're in the thick of it is, in a sea of the same thoughts, right? You know, when I was worried about this, when everyone starts using it, is there anything that's unique again, right? Does that, and yeah, I know you said, hey, I had it, you know, write it in the style of opera and rock, you know, and all of a sudden you get Bohemian Rhapsody, right? But you maybe, but that's been done right before. I kind of wonder, you know, if we just have so much of it, there's nothing and it's all being the same. I wonder if we begin to get mono creativity, which is, you know, to your point about, you know, when we have Garth Brooks, everybody wants Garth Brooks until we don't, until something new comes along and somebody says, you know, we're not going to do it. My fear is with AI, sometimes we never get away from Garth Brooks, right? It just always becomes the same thing. And I guess maybe with humans challenging it to be different, maybe that'll keep it.
The creativity comes from that person trying to push boundaries now, trying to find a way to do something different with it.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife is constantly talking about, you know, she's not the biggest fan of AI. You know, she's never really cared too much about it. But I try to force her to use it, try to force her to come up with things. She's a very creative person. She went to school for visual arts, graphic design and photography. That's how I met her. She was doing the album covers for the studios or the musicians when I was working in the studio. So she, you know, she's traditionalist. She likes to go into Photoshop. She likes to manipulate stuff herself. She likes to do all those things. Now, when I show her something I've done, she's like, well, I don't know why you bother doing that. You know, Alex does everything for you now. Those type of comments.
A little jealousy there?
Yeah, right. Like, well, Alex, you know, pretty soon she's going to be cooking me dinner and there's going to be no need for you. So we go through that. And, but I think to your point, when you say pretty soon everybody's going to be using AI, I think right now everybody's already using AI. And I think if you were to listen to the radio, you would start to notice when they're using it. For example, I wrote a couple country songs. And I noticed it plays the fiddle, and whenever it plays the fiddle, it uses the same exact timbre and sound for that fiddle. And now I notice I hear that fiddle on records that I'm hearing on the radio. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is they're having a band come in and play, and then if they want to add a fiddle part, rather than going back to the studio and renting the studio and hiring a fiddle player, they just throw it in here and say, add a fiddle part. And then they take that and they put it into Pro Tools and just mix it in with their song and hope nobody even cares.
Yeah.
And so I'm hearing it on the radio now.
Yeah.
And that producer I was talking to was telling me how those songwriters are using it for their work tapes. Everybody's already using it all. So what you're hearing on the radio now, what you're seeing on TV commercials now, what you're hearing on radio commercials, it's all, there's AI involved in it somewhere. For everything you're hearing at this point.
Mm-hmm. I think about a musical apocalyptic world where the AI just is constantly creating music, right? I mean, think about this. You could set an agentic AI could just create one song after another, flood the market with music, and why would you even need humans again at that point, right? Some of those songs are going to land, and they're going to be good. Nobody's going to be able to. I hear a lot of voiceover commercials now that I'm hearing.
Oh, that's 11 Labs.
Exactly.
I know that voice.
Oh, that's Bob from 11 Labs.
Right.
Right, Robert. Sorry, it was Robert. My bad.
Right. I hear the same thing. When I tell it to sing like a baritone vocal with a growly voice, whatever name they've got assigned to that, I hear that now on radio. I'm like, I know that voice. So it's like, the average person doesn't. But if you immerse yourself in AI for, a week or two, you're going to start to identify the stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. Tony had said, here's the trick not to hear it. He says he barely listens to music past the 90s.
Yes, and good point.
That might be, a way to, I said I still listen to the 80s a lot in what I'm doing. I guess if you want to be a non-AIist, you maybe hold to some music that was created in a different era. Music in the 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s were controlled heavily by the record labels, right? By you joined a studio. There wasn't a lot of personal creativity. Oftentimes the artists were given the music. You're going to sing this, right? Kind of thing.
Still
the
that way.
60s, yeah. Although I think 60s, 70s, and 80s, that broke away a little bit. There were a lot more artists that were, the boy bands brought back the manufactured, right? Followed by the girl bands that did it as well. We're maybe in a new era, so to speak. I think as I've been looking at this AI stuff, I'm trying not to take a good or bad, just different. Like it's changing things, whether we like it or not. And some things are going to be different in the way we do stuff in the future, don't you think?
Do you remember back one of the episodes I was on? It was the very first when ChatGPT first hit the scene, and we were talking about writing articles, or people were writing articles and using ChatGPT. And now you don't even think twice about it. And honestly, if you write an article yourself and have ChatGPT or Grammarly or any of the other things rewrite it for you, now you're saying, well, they're my words, they're just edited with ChatGPT, and it's become normal. That makes perfect sense. You wrote it, ChatGPT just made it better. In most cases, ChatGPT rewrote the whole thing. It took your idea and it rewrote it. It's not necessarily using the same exact words you used or the same exact stuff you did. Some cases it is, and you could tell it to, but most people say, oh no, that's much better. I'm going to go with your idea.
Some scholars though have been worried that's going to make us lazy. We're going to forget how to write. Do you think on the musical side, does it make for worse musicians? Do you think there'll be, because there won't be money or as much money in the space because we're not paying people to do things, the talent goes down in actual humans being able to do this?
Well, I think the talent, I hope not. And this is why I hope not. Sure. I think you're still going to get the Zach Wilds of the world, guitar player for Ozzy Osbourne, who sat in his room and played guitar hours upon hours upon hours until he was that good and could land gigs with Ozzy Osbourne. And I think those type of things are still going to happen. What I think is going to happen in addition to that is you're going to get people like my cousin who now know a tool you can use to write a song in 30 seconds. And I think you're going to get people like that doing it just for the fun of it. Or, hey, I'm going to write a song for your wedding. And they just go ahead and go in there and they'll use it for things like that. Or a birthday, just a quick little gift. But it's not making them musicians. And they're not trying to be musicians, but they've got a way now that they can be creative. Similar to what Photoshop did, with people using photographs and able to tweak it a little bit or replace somebody's head or do something stupid. Yeah. It didn't make them, working in that industry. It just added more people using the tools. And I think that's what's going to happen with Suno and all these others is there's just going to be more people using the tool.
Last question, and then we'll get you off to some additional allergy meds and off to bed. Do you think, like, I could have created what we did tonight in the last, you know, hour? I could have created it all with AI.
Yep.
Do you think it'd have been more interesting? Better, easier to listen to?
Easier
would they have
to
been
listen
better
to?
Than us?
I mean, if you put it into what's Google's notebook LM? If you put it in there, as sad as it is, that it's pretty good. I mean, it loses a little bit of the life, you know, of it, but it's pretty good, and it's only going to get better. So, I don't know. Could it do it better? Yeah, of course, because we stammer and stutter and talk. You know, lick my lips. We're lip smacking into the microphone. We're doing breathing heavy or whatever else.
Yeah, I'm having trouble. My throat's getting all scratchy.
Right. So, I mean, is it better? Yeah. Do people want to hear that? Yeah. Depends on what you're serving me.
Yeah.
If you're serving me the weather, I don't care. If you're serving me this conversation, then yeah, I don't want to hear an AI tell me about AI. Yeah, I want to hear the conversation. So
yeah.
I'm hoping things find
the experience
its place.
Makes the difference, right? In some regards, like the human experience that we both had doing these kinds of things and thinking it through. If we were creating something to be informational, well, this show's always been a little light on information. You know, it's an opinion show, right? I mean, we're
sir,
here to talk.
It's in the name. It's supposed to be delivering on educational value here.
Well, I know, but it's always been a little light on that, I think, in some
lighthearted,
regards.
Maybe.
There we go. I like, ooh, there's some lyrics in there. Lighthearted, if you know, creating lighthearted.
That's how it starts, just so you know.
Yeah, no, right on. Yes.
Lighthearted, maybe. So then we turn that into a song.
No, it's all good. I think we're far enough down the road. You know, when you and I first started talking about this, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, it was kind of, you know, new and shiny, and we're trying some stuff out. We're starting to see the effects of it now. Tonight we talked primarily about music, but I spent a lot of time thinking. Go ahead.
Is there a day that goes by that you don't use some version of AI right now?
Oh, I use it every day.
Every single day.
Yeah.
There's not a single day that goes by that I don't use one piece of it.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I don't doubt the usefulness of it. In the context of this, I create or I question it lightheartedly. You know, it's a lighthearted question. Is it ruining creativity? You know, is it the end to human creativity in some ways?
I heard, I don't remember what show it was on, but it was on one of the higher level shows. They were talking about it, and they were saying that there's going to be two types of things that come out of using AI. You're going to have smarter people and dumber people. The dumber people are going to use it to do their work for them, to find ways to just keep doing the things that they would do. The smarter people are going to use it to do the repetitive things that they do along their way and open up their mind for the creative things. And I think that's the way we need to look at it is, yes, if you can go ahead and just organize my calendar for me or do those things in the background, because if you think about it, how much time of your day are you actually spending doing creative work at your job? You're probably spending 80% of your time easy just doing administrative tasks. So if you could spend now 20% of your time doing administrative tasks and 80% of your time being creative, now you're using AI for the positive. And those are the people that are going to start standing out, in my opinion. I think that was a spot on statement that person made, and I can support that 100%.
Yeah, I don't disagree. In a lot of regards, you know, thinking about making the next, to your point, how do I use it in a way to get the menial stuff that I have to do out of the way quicker so I can focus on the more creative side of things that it can't do, right, from that perspective or what have you. So, yeah, I don't disagree. It's just we're in that space. I'm just thinking, you know, based on the music that we did last time, and I've just been thinking a lot about it, and I've been thinking a lot about the writing. You know, I'm in an industry where writing books is everything, and the barrier to entry has gotten really low. When everybody's writing books, are any of them any good? You know, are they? Now, listen, this could have been said about the printing press too. Like, you know, when it cost, before the printing press, a book took a person to write by hand to copy. They were very expensive, right? From a human capital standpoint. And then you could have had this argument, you know, after the printing press came out and they started mass producing books. Do you think there's a couple guys that sat around and they're like, oh, they're making so many books now, you can't even read them all, and they're all junk because anybody can print a book, you know?
It's funny you say that. They said the same thing with sheet music.
Really?
When people started doing sheet music, they're like, well, now anybody can have our song.
Yeah.
You know, we created that song. Now you can give that to anybody else to recreate it.
That's true.
Then when radio came out, now everybody could hear our song.
Yeah.
So, and then when you start putting it on recorded mediums, and now everybody can own our song, it's just one thing after another.
Joe says in chat, he says there's some pretty good AI bluegrass remakes, right? And is that another, you know, covers? AI covers of things. I was just saying, well, you can protect yourself by listening to music from the 80s. That's not going to have AI in it in the 90s. But what about the new AI covers of some other, right?
Pick an 80s song covered in bluegrass and you're done.
Yeah.
There's a band that does that. Well, I don't remember the name of the band, but there's a bluegrass band that covers like metal music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's so much creativity in that space. Listen, there's a lot of human creativity still there as well. And so we're at some interesting crossroads with it. I think it's opened up a whole new set of problems and legality. You know, we had gotten to a point for the most part where everybody understood the legal ramifications of making music. You know, and if you'd made somebody else's music, you got sued. We saw a lot of that in the 90s and 2000s as people were sampling stuff, right? This AI, it's a whole new world, you know, and what constitutes copying and, you know, some of those kinds of things. It'll be interesting to see how this goes. I think writing's is in the same space, you know?
And if you get, think of it like an educational book. If you're getting the information you need, do you care where it came from?
You might if it's engineering information and you're building a bridge, right?
Well, in most cases, you think that AI is probably more accurate.
Maybe, maybe not.
Here, let me give you a good example of that.
Yeah.
I've told you in the past, my daughter's got a condition. It's called FND, functional neurologic disorder. And my wife and myself don't believe it's 100% FND. And my wife gave ChatGPT access to her medical records.
Mm-hmm.
And it went through and analyzed it. And my wife says, based on, you know, these records, what would your diagnosis be? And FND was number 5 on the list. It wasn't number 1 on the list.
Interesting.
And the reason was, for the same reason my wife thought to look it up in the first place, is because my daughter experiences side effects that aren't normal to FND. They're normal to other things like lupus or other conditions. So, you know, we're not saying she doesn't have something. Obviously, we think she's got something. The girl passes out or has seizures on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something causing that.
Yeah.
But the question is, what is? And a doctor, I think, comes in and sees a patient for a few minutes and makes a gut reaction and leaves, where I think AI is able to take that information and like spend what would take a doctor thousands of hours to research. It does it in 30 seconds and comes back with response. Well, by her doing that, she presented that question to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know what, I think you're right. And they set her up with a specialist that specializes in that area, and she had to be approved to do it. And based on the information she got, they approved it. So April 1st, she's going into see the doctor that would make a decision on, I guess.
Yeah.
which direction to move forward in. But I think that was because of AI. It wasn't because of a doctor.
Yeah. Right on. Right on. I understand. Yeah.
It's crazy is what it is. It's absolutely insane.
It's a, well, in this, in that case, you know, we think about its ability to rapidly go through experienced information and pull back, you know, pull back a consensus or an idea and say, no, you know, kind of based on what I've seen, a really smart doctor would do that too, right? It's just everybody has access to this as opposed to having to pay a lot for that one really smart doctor, right? Type deal. Yeah.
It's like a TV show House.
Yeah.
Where's House when you need him?
No, right. Right. Yeah. Well, it, you know, it's a TV show. It's not a real doctor. But yeah.
He's a musician too. It's, I don't know if you know that.
And the first time I saw him was on House, but he'd done a bunch of British stuff for years before that. Right.
I went to see him in Nashville perform with a band.
Really?
He is super talented. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting thoughts on, you know, the usage and some of those. I certainly, you know, I've spent a bunch of time. I still continue to talk to it on a fairly regular basis in my car while you're writing music. I'm talking about my solar setup, or I'm talking about
well, you know, let me ask you that. So you do
fire pits.
No, you use? Yeah, I don't want to. I hate you. So you are actually talking, utilizing the conversation feature.
Yeah.
I've been doing that too, and it blows people's minds when I show them how to do that.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. I had somebody in my car the other day, and they're like, oh, "What do you even use that for?" And I said, what do you want to do today? And he said, I don't know. So I pulled it up. I said, hey, Alex. I said, I'm driving around Cincinnati today. Can you tell me a couple of things that would be good for me to do as a, from a tourist point of view? She starts rattling a bunch of stuff off. I said, you know what? I'm also going to need to get some food. She starts telling me all the local places to go. I'm like, oh, really? I said, do you like the food over there? And she's like, well, if you check the food over here versus the food over here, it's different because they use a different sauce or they use a different thing. Wow. You know, they flavor their chili differently is what she was getting at.
Yeah.
So this person's like, oh my God, I can't believe this is going on.
Yeah. It's really good. It's really good at that stuff. And sometimes not, right? I mean, that I think the caveat emptor is you still have to be skeptical. But you know what? We're skeptical of each other when we do this. You know, if I say, hey, Jay, I'm coming to Northern Kentucky. Can you recommend some restaurants for me? And you'd give me a couple. And I'd check them out before I'd be like, okay, he said that, but is that really what I want? And,
well, it's also, you know, taste. My taste isn't the same as yours.
For sure. Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good stuff, Jay. Thanks for coming on tonight. I you know, ask you last minute like I always do, but I wanted to follow up on the song, and then I've had a bunch of these thoughts about, you know, since we did that, I've kind of had a bunch of these thoughts about AI and musicians and what does that mean and how should we think about this, and certainly, you know, from a musician standpoint, I wanted to get your take on, you know, what does this mean for a musician? And then, you know, what does it mean for the average guy? So thanks for,
of course,
thanks for coming on. What's going on? Tell me about your podcast really quick. Why should folks go out and listen to it? What are you doing these days?
Well, it's a music based podcast, primarily country music. So it's country music news, reviews, and interviews with a heavy interjection of rock music because I like rock music.
Sure.
But yeah, it's myself and Tiffany Mason, and we discuss the news, reviews, and interviews. And then we, on opposite shows, we'll bring on an artist or somebody from the industry to talk music with us.
Nice.
And it's just fun. We just try to have some fun. You can find it all over at jayfranze.com.
F-R-A-N-Z-E. J-J-A-Y-F-R-A-N-Z-E.com. We'll have that link. Did I get that right? I did get that
right.
Yes,
perfect.
I'll have that link. Good. I'll have that link in the show notes as well as the link to the new updated theme song. Not just... if you've been listening to the show for the last, I don't know. When was the last time? When did I have you on for this?
666, sir.
Not, oh, that's right. It was 666. So it wasn't too long ago.
666, we should say, folks.
That's right. That's right. 673. By the way, Christian thanks you for taking the
yeah, I'm sure he does.
On the bullet on that one. I talked to him the next week, and he was like, yeah, but thank God I didn't have to come on for 666. So check out the link to the new theme song that written by one Jay Franzi that we'll have out there as well. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. Not next week. I'm taking next week off, and then I've got Paul Breran coming back the week after that. Gavin Campbell is coming the week after that. So Paul on the 12th, Gavin on the 19th. Why don't you come out and join us live? We'd love to have a few of you out there. Big thanks to Joe and Tony. Ken was out here a little bit earlier for joining us tonight. We'd love to have you join us on a Thursday night. Love to come. It's a lot more fun that way, and appreciate it if you come out and join us. If you want to jump in the Discord group, that's really where the conversation continues. It's not very busy, so if you're worried about being in a busy, noisy Discord group, that is not ours. It's pretty quiet. Some deals from time to time that we throw out there, some conversations. And this is where I post the show of what's coming up. Usually it's a couple hours before because I'm not very good about getting out there early. But it's just that's just my workflow. And theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Then big thanks to Christian over there, Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from folks that you know and you trust. You know that's Christian. He does a bang-up job over there. Maple Grove Partners, all one word, maplegrovepartners.com. And he'd love it if you needed it. Hey, I think he still has plans for $10. Or I should say as little as $10. So that is a great deal, and you should check it out if you need some kind of hosting. Thanks for coming out. If you listen live, thanks for coming out. If you're listening to the podcast, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I appreciate you listening out there. And thanks for hanging around with us for so long. Whether you're new or you've been around since the very beginning, thanks for listening. Jay, thanks for coming out. With that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.
Screens glow bright and the Wi-Fi peaks. If you're looking for the tech talk you can actually keep, then settle on in with Home Gadget Geeks.